Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
This Gamertag episode is brought to you by Gamefly. If you've ever wanted to try a game before you bought it, you should try Gamefly. It's the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. They're the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. Just pick your favorite games and have them mailed straight to your door. Then keep them for as long as you want and never worry about late fees. Plus, you can cancel at any time. Visit Gamefly.com/gamertag to start your free 30-day trial today. That's Gamefly.com/gamertag.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2016 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Here we go.
All right, so we're live here at E3 2016 at Ubisoft booth, and we're checking out now For Honor, and we have a person who's going to be talking about the game. What's your name and what'd you do?
Hey there, I'm Jeff Eleanor, level design director on For Honor, and we're here in the VIP booth having a kick-ass time. E3 has been amazing this year.
Last year, we got to play the multiplayer demo.
Right, this one, played Dominion mode last year. Right?
Yes, this one is all about campaign, correct?
Exactly.
Now, how that is different than the multiplayer? Any like gameplay mechanics differently than the...
Well, aside from the obvious thing that you're... not playing against real people.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing against our AI in the campaign. We've designed our AI to be sort of a series of increasingly difficult, what we call combat puzzles or challenges,
mm-hmm.
just so that you kind of get into the depth of the fight system and you gradually face like higher and higher levels of difficulty in, as you progress through our story. Whereas multiplayer is really all about balancing players against each other. In the campaign, we don't really care if a challenge is fair. We only care if you have fun beating it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I got a chance to actually play it at the pre-E3 event, and the thing that I like in it, that I like about it is I feel like it's easy to pick up, but it's hard to master. Like, it took me a while to actually understand the mechanics of getting down the blocking and countering with my melee attacks. And then that, even that one move, I think it's with the square button where you can push them down and things like that. So can you kind of talk about
learn,
the diversity?
Difficult to master is a phrase that we kind of just pound into our developers as we're working on the game. And I think it's like an Ubisoft standard design philosophy. It's very important to us. We want anyone to be able to pick up this game and sort of have that sword fighting fantasy. You know that feeling when you're standing in front of a mirror and you're 14 years old and you got a big cardboard tube and you're a ninja?
Right.
We want you to be able to play that game with the right stick when you get the controller in your hand. And so it's important to us that anyone can pick up and learn it. But as you get in, you get deeper and deeper. Becoming really good at it takes a lot of focus and investment.
Talk about the locations you have there in the demo.
Well, obviously, I'm the level design director, so I know every millimeter of this place you're seeing behind you.
Yeah.
I have a kick-ass team that's been making sure that our fortresses and our castles are interesting and fun places to play.
Mm-hmm.
The level design team has a kind of a slogan, which is great fights anywhere. We want every part of the map to be useful to you or interesting to have a duel in. Mm-hmm. So that we have things like that wall of spikes that just moves when you get close to them, so you can like grab fools and impale them on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
We can throw people out of the map, fight in narrow stairways, fight in open, wide environments. We just want the fight to be varied and interesting as you progress through our story.
Mm. What about any inspirations, like for ideas for to work on the design of this game? Any like going to the locations or movies, other games?
Me and the art director, Christian Diaz, super talented guy, have basically been crawling through any reference we can find for the various factions that we have. So we're looking for the Viking fantasy, the samurai fantasy, mm-hmm. the European castle, and we're just kind of rebuilding that to make it shape our world in an interesting way. Because we're not really, strictly speaking, realistic,
yeah,
we want to be in a like familiar but sort of the essence of like a distilled version of what you'd expect from those three factions in terms of the fantasy of their spaces.
Now, again, with you being on level design, you're the perfect person to ask about this. So how historically accurate are some of these castles and fortresses that we're fighting our ways through?
I've had this question a lot lately, so I'm excited by it. When I was a little kid, I traveled around Europe a lot with my dad checking out castles. So I have all these little like fragmented memories of different castles. What you're seeing is really like a mashup of many, many, many places that exist in real life. But we're not, strictly speaking, recreating anything that existed in real life for our game. We really wanted to make something that's specific and has its own personality.
Okay, and again, with this being let me say it this way. So in today's games, most people are used to picking up a gun or something and they're doing ranged type of combat. So this is strictly melee combat.
Exactly.
With you being a level designer, what's kind of the challenges in that? Are you designing these levels to kind of funnel people to get engaged directly versus standing back range? Like, there's not cover and things like that in your levels.
No, exactly. There's no cover. And, in fact, we were able to have way less occlusion as a result, because you want people to be able to see the enemies they're going to fight and have that sort of, like, face-off moment where you start to see them kind of start to circle and you get a sense of like how you want an enemy to move before you engage and actually clash sword to sword.
Because again, with the demo, I don't know if this is the same demo we're looking at now, but when I played it, you did the kind of like the tutorial, and then we had the, was that feudal Japan? I think it was like a samurai or whatever it was, but you got to that boss guy.
Right.
Is that going to typically be what we see as we're progressing through
the
game?
So that fight with Saburo at the end of the first samurai fortress that you see in the game, this is really where we introduce the visuals of the samurai fantasy. So the Vikings come with their ships south into an area we call the Mire, and you see this big fortress. Saburo's fight is one of many sort of like special bosses or special enemies that you'll fight in the game. And the area around it is, we really wanted to like put you deep into the samurai fantasy right away. So you show up as a Viking in this place and you're like, I am in a space that really tells me right away I'm in a samurai fortress. Every ninja movie, manga cartoon.
Yeah, it felt like a Shaw Brothers movie at the end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like right away you want to be like, okay, I know where I am.
Right on. Yeah. So, again, since we're talking about campaign today, we're obviously seeing solo. Are there any type of co-op
yeah.
components in this?
In fact, you'll be able to play the entire campaign, all of it, with a buddy, online or in split-screen co-op.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. That couch co-op part of the game was really important to us, especially given the great fighting game mechanics we have. You know, we figured it's a natural for people sitting down beside each other and playing against each other or with our through the campaign against our AI.
Okay. Any last questions? Are we talking release date? When is
Fiona? Absolutely we are talking release date, because it is Valentine's Day
next year. That's right. It's been a long E3. I forgot already.
We are bringing the love in a very special way. So it's a good thing you asked about co-op before I told you that. You'll be able to play with your significant other on Valentine's Day. We think it's a great date.
I don't know. I don't think I want to play with my wife. She might take one of those swords and chop my head off. But again, thank you for taking the time to talk to us about this game. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Had a blast.
My pleasure, man. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.